Book of John, chapter 12. Okay, Book of John, chapter 12, verse 1 to number 8. When you're ready, let's stand as we read John, chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. Today we're looking at the gift of Mary. Okay, John, chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. I'll read verse 1, then you read verse 2, and so on until you read verse number 8. John 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he, Jesus, raised from the dead. Verse 2. Mary then took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Verse 4. Which, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Verse 6.
This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had a bag, and bare what was buried.
Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept it. Verse 8, let's read together. For the poor always ye have with you, but ye have not always. Let's have a word of prayer. Okay, let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, to see what the Lord Jesus was trying to teach both Judas, the people there, and more importantly today by faith, Lord, to teach us how we need to manage our gifts and our lives. And what are the things that we need to give to you, and what's your definition of a gift? Father, teach us from your word today. Bless the chapel upstairs and the children, Lord, and we taught your word as well. Thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We all like to be invited for dinners. How many of you like to be invited for dinners? Okay, the Lord Jesus was invited to a dinner. Okay, so it was a context. The context of this story was a dinner. Okay, it was a dinner. And Jesus went to his favorite house. The favorite house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were all good friends. In fact, they were Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were very good friends of the Lord Jesus. And every time, and Jesus knew he could depend on them. He knew every time he go any a place to stay, he would just go there and they always welcome him. Okay, and so they went, and in this particular passage, they made a supper dinner for him. Okay, something to eat. Martha, as usual, you know, you'll be busy with the donola, the beef stew lah. He'll be busy with all the unleavened bread and all the spices and herbs and all. And make sure everything is nice, you know. Of course, Lazarus, as a man of the house, just sit down there. In the Jewish context, okay? Mary did something. Mary gave to Jesus a gift. Totally unexpected, but Mary gave a gift, okay? Why did Mary give that gift? It's not stated in here. What happened in John chapter 11, anyone? What happened in John chapter 11? Jesus just raised Lazarus from the dead. And that's a big thing, you know. Your brother died and then Jesus raised him from the dead. That's a big thing. And so one of the reasons could be that Mary was just very appreciative, very grateful for what Jesus had done for them, and he's given them the gift, okay? And, you know, Jesus restored the joy in that family by raising Lazarus from the dead. You know, in some of our lives, such as Hannah in the Old Testament, such as Sarah, such as Esther, sometimes they will then, in the Christian life, sometimes there must always be a trial before the celebration. There must always be a trial. Okay, so this is just a thought. Because the devil wants to rob us of our joy. He wants to. Okay? But we see that the trial was the death of Lazarus. Jesus rose from the dead. Or rather, Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. And now Mary's giving that gift. So, as a result of her gratefulness to Jesus, so what did Mary do? Immediately in the supper, she gave to the Lord Jesus as a demonstration of her love for the Savior. And perhaps in gratefulness, okay? Today we want to look at what gift did Mary bring. And it's very important for us to understand this. How Jesus commented on the gift was not the value of the gift. How much is it? There was a very important principle that I believe many of us as Christians need to take note of when it comes to giving things to God. And also where we also consider between one another. All right, what kind of gift did Mary bring to Lord Jesus? Very straightforward. Verse 1. Number 1, it was a timely gift. Timely gift. A timely gift. Look at verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover came, came to Bethany. Okay? Well, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. What was Jesus going to do? What was going to happen to Jesus at that time? He was going to be crucified. Okay? The Lord Jesus knew he was going to die for the sins of men. Question for you. Did Mary know? Did Mary know? Mary had no idea. Mary had no idea that Jesus was going to die for them. Jesus did tell the disciples, but the disciples were blur like sotong. They just didn't know what Jesus was talking about. What do you mean you're going to die in 3 days you rose from the dead? The disciples had no clue what Jesus was talking about, but Mary didn't know. Neither did anyone of the people know. But her gift was timely because the Lord Jesus just raised Lazarus from the dead. And in order to show the gratitude to the Lord Jesus, she brought the gift, okay? This principle of timeliness, we tend to focus on the things that are most important to us. Agree? And that we can see the urgency of the matter. On the one hand, Mary saw Jesus just rose my brother from the dead. I need to do something in response. It was a timely gift. Question, how important is the Lord Jesus to you? Because how important Jesus is to you will lead to your timely gift for God. And it's not only on Sundays. I hope not. The Lord Jesus needs to be important to you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And every time when you see, Christians, we need to be aware of the blessings of God. And sometimes, you know, any blessings to share, everyone look down. Typical Baptist, sir. Why? Is it because we don't see with our spiritual eyes what God do? We are so focused on what is important to us, which is the things of this world. We need to lift up our eyes and see. We need to see what God is doing. We need to see what God is doing. And then we can have the blessings of God. You know, Mary, if you read John 11, you realize Mary actually said, Lord Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She was in sorrow, of course. When someone passes away in your family, you will have sorrow. But you know what? Mary knew, hey, Jesus raised my brother from death. I need to do something. It was timely. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. All right? I believe it might be in your passage there. Luke 17, verse 14 to 15. This is the 10 lepers. The 10 lepers. It is so interesting. These 10 lepers, one of them was a Samaritan. Luke 17. Okay, of course, we all know the story. The 10 lepers shout out, Lord Jesus, please help us. We have leprosy. Can you please heal us? And Jesus says, go and show yourself to Moses, to the priest, and you'll be healed. You know, and of course, the moment they left in obedience to the priest, all of them were healed. They all received the blessing. They all received the blessing. They all received the blessing. All of us have received the blessing of life. None of you is in a hospital today, right? Amen? Would you rather be in the ICU? No, you have received the blessing. You have received the blessing of health. How many people came back to give thanks to God? Only one. In Luke chapter 17, verse 14, 15, and when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. All of them received the blessing. And one of them, when he saw it, he was healed. Turn back. We need more turning backs in our Christian life to God. You know what it meant to be healed from your leprosy? You know what it meant? It meant the end of social ostracization. Okay? Because all lepers were ostracized from society. You are kicked out from society. Your family will kick you out. Why? Because of the contagion and because of the Moses law. But you know what? If you are healed, you are back to society. You are back to function. You are back to life itself. You and I are on our way to hell, guys. And Jesus healed us all. Question for you. How many of you have turned back? You know, He was healed and turned back and with a loud voice. You know what I mean? Oh, God, you heal me. A loud voice. The word loud voice, literally, he shouted, he thanked God, he glorified God. It was a timely gift. His immediate response when receiving the healing from God was he gave glory to God. Some of us always say, you know, sometimes, Brother Johnny, I'm just too busy for God. Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what day may bring forth. Some of us say, Rampa, I just have no time for God. I'm too busy with the things in my life. How important is Jesus to you? It will cause us to... How important is Jesus to us on a daily basis? Do you know that Jesus blesses us every day? Every single day He blesses us. With the common things of life and health, sometimes God blesses us with a note from someone that really touched our hearts. With a blessing, I received my son back from KL. And nothing will happen to him. Of course, Edward was there as well together. And these are blessings. Okay? I hope nothing like MH370 happens to anyone. You know? Can you imagine? You say bye to your loved ones at the airport and that's the last time you see him. You don't know. The timely gift. Mary's gift was a timely gift for the Lord Jesus. How timely is your gift to God? Do service, giving and time for God a priority for you? Or is always God can wait attitude? Number one, it's a time. Number two, it's an expensive gift. No, Brother Johnny, I thought you're not going to talk about that. I want to talk about that because not so much for the amount, okay? Now, this is interesting. I think some of you may be interested. Okay, then verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. Jesus said it was very costly. Spikenard is never found in Israel. Okay? What are some things that are not found in Singapore? That's very precious.
Diamond.
Diamond not found in Singapore. May have lah, you search probably not. Okay. So, yeah, maybe if you dig enough. Okay, not produced in Singapore. Spikenard is an imported product of Israel. Spikenard is imported. You can never find it in Israel, number one. It's found, I think, in the Himalayas. All right? Judas Iscariot said, why don't you sell this for 300 pence? 300 pence, one pence is the wages for one day. Okay? Now, a penny in those days was 100 Singapore dollars. Okay, I converted it from US. The US, one pence equals to 72 point something US dollars. Okay? So how much is a pound of spikenard? Quick, maths whiz, quick. 300 pence, 100 US dollar. How much was the pound of spikenard? How much? 100 Singapore dollars times 300 pence? 30,000, 40 ma. The pound, I don't know how heavy is the pound. Pound is about 600 grams, right? 600 grams. 600 grams. 30,000 Singapore dollars. Let's put it in perspective. It was not so much of the value. How important the person is to you, you will not ask how much it is. Listen to another passage that drives home this point. 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24, I believe it's not. I think, is it there? 2 Samuel chapter 24? Sometimes I put it in, I'm not too sure. But okay. This is a situation where David just sinned against God. And God just dealt with him. And David in humility came back to God and said, God, I need to give a sacrifice to God. Okay? He went and Arunah, which is actually one of the people with him and say, and he came to Arunah, I want to buy this piece of land so I can give a sacrifice to God. And this man was very loyal. He was a good man. He told King David, look, you're the king. Take whatever you want. Whatever I have, my land, take. Even the thing, the bullock, whatever you need, just take. You are the king. Just take. You know what King David said? Look at verse 22. And Arunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be the oxen. He even provided the oxen. You need oxen, take, for the burnt sacrifice. And threshing instruments and other instruments, take. And oxen for wood. All these things did Aaron now as a king gave unto king? Did Aaron now say unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee? And I pray, king, that at the end of all that you've done, God will accept you. You know what the king said? No. But I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Maybe you say, you just give me the market price for this. You know why? You know why? Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. Wow. You know why it's an expensive gift? It's not the value. You know, people can give $5 million to God. They have $100 million less. It doesn't cost them anything. You see, God's maths is not man's maths. Why do I say that? Look at Luke chapter 21. God's calculation of value and maths is very different from earth value. And as Christians, we cannot use earth value to measure God's value. All right, let's look at what Luke 21 tells us. I think we all know that it was Jesus sitting at the treasury. In the treasury of those days, there were 12 containers for the giving of offerings. Of course, by the way, do you know Jesus observes people? Jesus observes us when we come to church, when we give. All right? And so, Jesus was there observing all the people giving. And then he said, hey, disciples, come. Let me see. See the lady? You see all the men first? He said, all this person has cast in. Okay, Luke 22, verse 4. All these have of their abundance cast in the offerings of God. These people are giving a lot of money. But look at this old lady. She's a widow. Widow means you have no husband to support you. And in the Jewish culture, the women don't get work. They depend on social welfare. Okay? She had no son, quite obviously. Because there was a widow. He may have a son, okay? The Bible never say. But the Bible did say, Jesus said, she of a penury, you know what's penury? Her poverty. Cast in all the living that she had. In other words, if all she has is this, if all she has to live on is this, Jesus noticed that this lady was willing to put everything to God. You see, it's not how much you give, it's how much you keep. It's not how much you give, it's how much you keep that matters to God. Because your priority of who God is measured by how much you give to Him. So how much you keep for yourself, if it's more than what you are giving, shows the value of God to you. It's not much to give 1.5 hours a week to God. Is it? Or when Jesus gave everything for us. Think about that for a while. Measure the value of time you spend on your computer games, on the internet, versus the time you give to God. Measure the amount of time you give to... Maybe I ask a simple question. What is most important and most expensive to you? For some of you, maybe your jobs, maybe your money, your bank account. For some of you, maybe your friends. You know, if you're not willing to give that up for God, God has no value in your life. Mary, when he gave this, by the way, when Mary gave that gift, this pound of spikenard is only used by ladies on their wedding in those days. And Mary gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an expensive gift. Does our gift for Christ cost us anything? Does it cost you to come to church? For some of you, it does. Does it cost us? Let me say this. If coming to church is just a habit, doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost anything to come once a week. It does cost something to come on Friday nights, soul winning. It does cost something. When you're focused on reading your Bible and praying, it does cost you something. It does mean that you've got to put away something so that you can put your eyes on Christ and do what He says. Does our gift cost anything to God? It was an expensive gift. Point number three. It was an appropriate gift. Look at verse 3. Then took Mary a pound, an ointment spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Ladies, when you prepare for your wedding, do you use the perfume you use for wedding and wash someone's feet? But you know, Jesus is the King. Mary knew that. And she anointed the feet of Jesus with that expensive perfume. You do not use scented $30,000 perfume to wash the feet of someone. You use water. But Mary's gift was to anoint Jesus because He is the King of her life. Young people, what is most important to you? Are you willing to anoint Christ with that? In other words, use it for His glory rather than for your pleasure. It was an appropriate gift. So the answer, the question we need to ask ourselves, who is the King of my life? And what am I using my life to honor? Or rather, who am I honoring in my life? Mary honored Christ by giving the appropriate gift of honor. Point number 4. Look at verse 3. And then took Mary a pound of ointment, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair. It was a gift of honor. Her honor. What do you mean? Ladies, let me ask you a question. This is quite personal. How many of you like your hair? Okay, let's be honest. Anyone else? No one else like your hair? Yeah, you like your hair, right? I'm sure you like your hair, right? Don't even children age of 5 love their hair. Girls, alright? And they, it's okay to spend 5 hours to last time they had this big balloon thing, right? To put your hair in, right? So that it can be perm. I don't know why they call it perms. It's more temps. Because after the perm, you go back to the original, right? So it's not perm. Permanent. That's why it's called permanent. You know permanent comes from the word permanent? Perms comes from the word permanent. You know that, right? It's supposed to be more permanent after you perm your hair, but it's more temps. Okay? But we do it with our hair. How many of you would use your hair? How many of you, honestly, Alendra, would you use your hair to wipe someone's feet? What Mary did, was to show us a Jewish thought. In 1 Corinthians 11:15, the Bible says, if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is... Okay. If a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. Ladies, God gave you long hair because that's your glory and your honor. That's why some ladies say, hey, don't touch my hair. No, I have not much with it. Not mine, I meant for ladies, okay? You know, some ladies are very particular about people touching their hair, right? Amen? Wow, okay, you settle that with God. But the hair was given by God for your glory and your honor. You know what Mary did with her glory and honor? She used it to wash the feet of her Savior. Now, I'm not suggesting wives, if you go back, you go and wash your husband's feet with her hair. I don't think anyone will do. So you can wash yourself. Okay. But you know what that represents? She gave herself. She gave not only what is important, expensive, she gave what she defines herself as a woman. This is what is so important to me. Lord, I give it to you. Young girls, if you're not married, you need to give God your purity. Emotional, physical, in every aspect of your life. It's God's. Until God blesses you. You don't give it to anyone. You're not married, you don't belong to anyone but your parents. Make that clear. What are you giving to God? Give an appropriate gift of honor. Her honor. What is the most important to you, ladies? Can I say, if you name a material thing, you are far from God's value. But what is most important to you? We need to define that. And then say, okay, if that's most important to me, are you willing to surrender that to God? Mary did that. She gave to the Lord Jesus what is most glorious to her as a person. You know what's the most... Okay, everyone involved now, what is most important to us? You know what's the most important to us? Your life. What does it profit a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What's most important to us, to Jesus, is your life. Who are you giving your life to? Who are you serving with your life? Is it your boss? Is it the mighty dollar? Is it your career? You need to be very clear. For Mary, her $30,000 gift means nothing. It was given to the right person, the Lord Jesus. You know, Christians, we need to come to the place of understanding that your life doesn't belong to you. Did you know that? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. We are not. We don't belong to ourselves. You know, this hand, these feet, these eyes, this heart doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. You know why? You know, when Jesus bought, when Jesus died on the cross, the blood of Christ actually not just bought our soul, he bought our body, soul, and spirit. And we all belong to God. There was one man sitting on the train. And I know they, in England, I believe it. And after a while, you know, there was another man sitting opposite him, and they were just getting bored. And so one of the men took out a pack of cards and started to play. Hey, you want to play? I was getting bored, you know. The man said, no, I can't play cards. So why? These hands are not my hands. These hands are not my hands. Okay, we can question morality, but you know, this man was very clear. I'm not going to use my hand to do something that will offend God. Young people, what you see on your internet, your eyes don't belong to you. Fathers, mothers, or whatever you see on the internet, young men, your eyes don't belong to you. It belongs to God. And we need to be very careful. It's a gift of honor, her honor she gave to Christ. Point number five. It was an illogical gift to this world, okay? In John chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, after she'd given the gift, guess who? Judas Iscariot said, why was this ointment, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Makes sense, right? Makes sense, right? Why should we spend so much money, you know, to do this? Why don't you be given to the poor, you know? I mean, you'd be more better used, right? It was illogical. No one uses perfume to wash feet. That's illogical. This is water. That's what the slaves do. Let me ask you a question. But when we give it to the Lord, does it matter what the world says? Young people, we have a lack. Young people, are you listening? We have careers in our minds already set. What if I challenge you from God's word? Right now, that I'm going to put the mission field and full-time Christian ministry, and I'm going to aim for that unless God stops me. But Brother Johnny, you cannot like that. You know, they have a future, right? Yeah. But my question for us, parents, our children's life belongs to who? That belongs to us. It was illogical to the world. When I went to the ministry, my mom opposed me. She's here. And now she's here. Who won? God. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying when you choose to give a gift to God, sometimes the world will not understand why you did certain things. No one will understand why Brussels and all these people who go to difficult countries to give the gospel. Maybe they know something, or maybe they know someone that's more important to them. You know, there are many people today who don't see things from God's perspective, and therefore a lot of Christian work becomes illogical. But when we give her, when Mary gave that gift, the $30,000 perfume to wash the feet of the King of Kings, to Judas Iscariot, notice what the Bible says about him. This is interesting. In verse number 6, John chapter 12, verse 6, he says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. You know, in some Christian circles, they believe, oh, Jesus must be very rich because he had a treasurer. The treasurer was a thief, the Bible said, and went to hell. So don't believe what you hear about this health and wealth prosperity gospel. All right, some people, one of my brethren said, someone said, well, Paul must be very rich, you know, because he had a ship. Why? Because he was shipwrecked. Hello, it doesn't connect. Paul wasn't a shipping tycoon. You know? He was just being brought to see Caesar in that ship. And you need to be careful. Judas Iscariot was not, he was a treasurer, but he was a thief. The Bible is very clear, he was a thief. You know why is illogical? Sometimes even to Christian when you really serve God. Because you don't care for the things of God. You're more concerned about the things of this world. Christian, when you serve God, it doesn't matter what the world says. As long as you know your heart is with God, you want to serve Him, and you're giving as much as possible to God. Listen to John chapter 6, okay? John chapter 6, verse 9, I think it's in one of the verses. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? The feeding of the 5,000? And Jesus actually asked the people, okay, let's feed them. You know, these people have been with me. Let's feed them. God, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know? Verse 9, there is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. 1 barley loaf is like a gardenia bread, about this size. You know those buns you eat for your what you call that? Western food. You throw it. I don't know why do they fry the bread in oil? Anyone knows? Do what? Or make it crispy, okay. Okay, but very hard to eat after that. But anyway, this boy had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And what was Philip's thing? But what are they among so many? We only have 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Number one, learn a few lessons. Number one, this boy had to sacrifice his lunch. And for boys to sacrifice lunch is a big thing. Amen? Not all. Would you sacrifice your lunch, Miguel? Because you're a boy. Would you sacrifice your lunch? You will? You sure? Sure? Okay, so after I'm going lunch with you, okay? Okay. For the boy. First of all, he gave us his lunch. But then, you know, the disciples, you know, how much does the world despise what we give sometimes, right? You know, sometimes young people, when you give what you can, especially if you want to live for God, you know, if you're not earning anything, but Lord, I've got $10, I'll just put aside $2 for you. God doesn't despise that $2, amen? He sees your heart. This boy brought 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Guess what? Of all people, the disciples said, what is that among so many? How is he going to feed these 5,000 or one in the world? Any gift given to Jesus can be multiplied. Any gift. There was a man, his name is Jim Elliot. I think many of us know him. He went to South America to be a missionary. And his heart was for this group of Yucca Indians, a cannibalistic group of people. And before he went, he actually went to the mission station. And mission station, the veteran missionary said, hey, you go in, they're going to kill you. You know, he said, we died before we came. We died before we came. Jim Elliot and his 4 friends was cruelly killed by the savages because they thought they were here to take away their land. Guess what? Jim Elliot's wife went in a few months later. Today, the tribe that killed Jim Elliot is a Christian tribe. Jim Elliot gave his life. You know, a lot of people say it was a wasted life. He was only 20 plus, by the way. Low. Maybe about 30, I think. He got married. Thank God he had a daughter, I believe. Short life. But because of Jim Elliot and his friends, whole tribe came to Jesus Christ. Today, their grandchildren are still in the tribe, the Waroni tribe. Any gift too small, even in the mind of man, that seems to be a wasted opportunity, a wasted thing, don't waste your life. I was told you waste your degree if you serve God. No, you won't. You get more. I don't know about you. I'd rather earn 10 million souls to Christ than $10 million. Amen? I share on Friday. John Bunyan said, If I live my life just to reach 1 person for Jesus Christ and he goes to heaven, my life would have been well spent. What is your value? It was an illogical gift. The world will say, "You're stupid. You got PhDs. You can do more, man." Yes, you can. Or you can do more for God. Do you realize after World War II, there was an increase in mission activity? Missionaries went out like crazy after World War II because they believed the second coming of Christ. Today, for every 500 missionaries that leave the mission field, only one goes in. Because you know why? We are lovers of ourselves in this generation. That's what 1 Timothy. Christians, we need to come to a place that we start giving to God when it seems illogical. Why am I giving? Now, it could be money, it could be time, it could be a service. It's illogical. Did you realize many of the men of God, when they served the Lord last time, they all broke their health? I'm not saying don't take care of health. This push to be healthy is good. We need to be in a healthy state to serve God. But what if it will cost you your health? What if God calls you to the mission field and you cannot reach a doctor in time? Would you still go? You know, we will think through all this. But you know what we need to think? If it's a job God asked me to do, I'll do it and leave the consequences to Him. That is the Christian attitude towards service. That's why out of the 12 apostles, 11 of them were killed for the faith of Christ. When they followed Christ, it was a decision they made. It was an illogical decision, but it was a biblical, God-centered decision. By the way, if you try to reconcile God's will with the things of this world, it's never going to happen. So sometimes it's important that we go to the Bible, what the Bible says, and get our reasons from there, rather than get the reasons from our mind and from this world. All right? In a little illogical. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. Paul actually says, "For whether we be beside ourselves," in our way, we are siao, we are crazy. Not as in the lunatic, all right? We're crazy, meaning we do things that no one... I'll give you an example of Paul's craziness. The Holy Spirit told Paul in Acts chapter 20, if you go to Jerusalem, they're going to kill you. Would you go to a town that's going to kill you? Generally, no. You know? But you know what Paul says? If the Holy Spirit told me to go, yeah, there will be persecutions and opposition. Can I disobey the Holy Spirit? You know, we use human reason many times to decide God's will. You know why? We already decided what we want. That's why. And we use our human reasons to support what we want. But if the Holy Spirit says it's wrong, the Holy Spirit is supposed to, would you go? So sometimes I say, no, I'm not going to do that. I heard a story from one of the in Nepal about this Korean Christian who was very faithful to the Lord. She was with a boy for many years, but she broke out of the friendship. You know why? Because they don't stand on the same doctrines of Christ, on the King James Bible. I said, whoa. But you know, it tells me one thing about her. It's just a waste that she's about, I think, 5 to 8 years older than Jeremiah. Okay, it's father thinking. Yeah. But for a young lady who is willing to sacrifice her life happiness so that she can be faithful to God, I'll give my son any time. Because you know why? If she can love God, she'll love my son. And of course, my son needs to love her too. Okay, that's a different story. Is it illogical? Is your service to God, in your service to God, already in Paul's service, he acted illogically. Because people say, "Paul, they're going to kill you. Don't go there." Paul says, "Why? Why? I need to follow what God says." Last point. You know, after Mary, he gave his timely gift, expensive gift, an appropriate gift of honor, It was an illogical gift. You know what's the blessing? It was an accepted gift by God. Christians, when you serve God in this life, some people are just going to oppose you. They're going to be offended at you. Service to God is not going to bring popularity. But you know what? It's more important that we are accepted with God. Notice in John chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. Then said Jesus, number one, Jesus defended her. Let her alone. Judas Iscariot, I know your heart. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying, have she kept this? For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Now it's interesting because it went against the thinking of that day. See, do you realize Mary's gift was accepted because this gift did the will of God? Okay? Look at Luke chapter 23, verse 55-56. What does it mean to do the will of God? In taking care of the honor of Christ. Luke 23, verse 55-56. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. It was a Jewish practice that when someone died, the person will be embalmed with spices. But because Jesus died 3 hours before the Sabbath, they have no time to do it. So no one was there to anoint the Lord Jesus before he was buried. Right? No. You know, according to Jesus, this lady has already did it. Because against the day of my burying, she did this. Jesus foreknew there was no one that's going to give spices to me, to embalm me. But this lady, by what she did, has already done it. What about you? We may say, well, Brother Johnny, that's only technical, right? I mean, just yala, you can say. No. If in the mind of God, this lady has done it, she's done it. If she honored the Lord. Okay? How do I know that this gift was an accepted gift from God? Look at Mark chapter 14, verse 6 to 9. Mark chapter 14, verse 6 to 9 is a parallel passage, and it gives us a little bit more information about this passage in John chapter 12, right? So let's look at it. How do I know it's an accepted gift by the Lord Jesus? Number one, because the Lord Jesus called it good. Mark chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye me? She had wrought a good work on me. Number one, Jesus calls it good. Every gift and every work that you do for God with all your heart is always good. Jesus also called it a sacrificial work. Mark chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble? You should rock on me. Look at verse 5 of Mark chapter 14 if you're there. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and has been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. It was sacrificial on two levels. One, she sacrificed her wedding's perfume. And she sacrificed her reputation. Many of the apostles were opposed. Today, if you stand for what is right, people may not like you. But they are willing to put it on the line for Christ. It was a sacrificial work. Verse 8, Mark chapter 14, it was the best work. The Bible says what? She had done what she could. She has done what she could. Think about that for a while. You know, when you read the Bible, don't just skim through this. Think about what Jesus was saying. She's done what she could. She has done what she could means that she gave her $30,000 perfume. The best that she could do. How best are we doing for God? Do we prepare for our lessons or just come 5 minutes before and hope everything is fine? We can't. In a new place, we can't do that anymore. We need to prepare to serve God. We need to give our best. Jesus said, this lady did his best. She has done the best. You know how I know? Before Jesus came, she already in her mind prepared the perfume. That's why the moment Jesus came in, she went in and did the job. Why? She was already prepared, perhaps mentally. Am I supposed to give away this $30,000 worth of perfume to wash the feet? She's already settled in her heart. I'm going to give it because I love Jesus more than my $30,000. And she's giving it. And sometimes it's hard. Yesterday, when we had the youth, we talk about this very important thing about sometimes, in order to run the race and to win for Christ, there are some painful decisions we need to make. Like this Korean girl had to make a painful decision to give up her future happiness in order to please God. That's painful. But you know what? In the eyes of God, that's the right decision. Because it follows what God says. It was the best. She did her best. Christians, what is your definition of best? It's not what you think is best. It's what God thinks is best. And I don't think I did my best yet. There's still a lot more that I had to do in my own life. Pray for my pastor. I'm setting personal goals to grow in certain areas of my life. But Christians, you need to do your best to God too. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we need to push a bit harder. Really, how much are we doing for God that can be considered our best? We would do more to plan for a holiday. We'll do more for our friends than we'll do for Christ. Jesus said it was the best. And lastly, it was praiseworthy work. Mark chapter 14, verse 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. When this lady gave the gift, she had no idea that it was going international. She had no idea. All she wanted to do was do something for Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus says? The Bible today is translated in more than 3,500 languages. And this lady is mentioned in every single one of those languages. Fulfillment of what Christ said. This thing that the lady has done will be a memorial when the gospel is preached. I believe what the Lord was trying to tell us is, don't underestimate what you will do for me. And I believe the principle is this. Think about this. In the last verse, Jesus said a very important principle that I believe as Christians and ambassador and everywhere, you need to take note. The Bible says, for the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. What does that mean? There are certain things in life that is routine that you can give your time to, but there are certain opportunities that God gives us to serve Him that will pass away when we miss it. Does that make sense? The opportunity to give to God our best can come and go. There are some people who, when the opportunity presents itself to serve and to give and to do whatever, you know what they say? Wait, I've got more important things. I want to say one thing which I believe we need to put it into the mind of ambassador. There is never a convenient time to serve God. Never. Never. Never a convenient time to serve God. And we have to be very clear in our mind, what is the priority God has in our lives? Because when God presents an opportunity and we miss it, it may never come back. That's what Esau, remember Esau and Jacob? Not this Jacob. Remember Esau had the spiritual birthright, but she sold it away. Why? Because of what his flesh wants. He needed a bowl of porridge. He was hungry. It fulfilled the pleasure of the moment. I enjoy it. What's this spiritual thing? That's not important. When we do that, and when he comes back seeking for the blessing again, it may never come back. For Esau, it never came back. I believe in my heart, Esau's in hell today. Because he rejected and lived in his flesh. That's my opinion. But you never see Esau in his life ever mentioning the name of God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Never. Because why? He lived in his flesh. Can Christians live in the flesh? Yes, he can. And Christians, when Jesus said the poor always, there are certain things in life you can always have. You always get a second chance. Mary will have no second chance. You know why? After 6 days, Jesus was going to be crucified. And she will never get a second chance to give that gift again. But because it was timely, she gave it 6 days before. She didn't know, but her heart was so filled with gratitude. And as she gave that, you know what Jesus said? That is the point. No one is going to embalm me, but Mary did it. And God honored her by putting her name in the Bible so that all of us will learn there's never a convenient time to serve God. There's limited opportunity. Auntie Janet was just sharing with me her friend of hers, supposedly healthy friend, 50 years old, in coma now. Children, don't think you have a second. Don't ever think that you live tomorrow. I'm not frightening you. So you move, brother Johnny, don't frighten my daughters. Don't frighten my daughters. Dear friend, if your hand is in God's hand, if your life is in God's hands, there is no fear, amen? How I live my life is this. As God, as much as if God ever needs me on this earth, I will still be alive. When it's time to die, it's time to die. For me, it's going home, so. Christians, your life is not yours to keep. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus gave... You've lost your life. Jesus gave you back your life so that you can lose it for him, so that someone else can come back to Christ. Yesterday, the youth, we also learned the reason for spiritual disciplines. Do you know what's the reason that you want to be spiritually disciplined? That Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak I become as weak, so that I might by all means save some. Paul knew he's not going to save the world, but he's going to support, he's going to discipline himself in his Christian life so that someone else can come to Christ. And I pray that all of us will have this thinking, I want my loved ones to come to Jesus Christ above all. And I will live my life, I will control my desires, I will control my hatred, I will control my prejudice, I will control everything that God, you use me to reach out. Because when this life is over, either your loved ones will be in heaven or they will be in hell. And your bank account doesn't matter. But by the way, there's no bank accounts in heaven. Everything belongs to God. Christians, let's see things in the right perspective. Let's live our life with eternity in view. Because Jesus may come at any time. And whatever we want and stand for in this life, let us be like Mary, who gave an expensive gift, who gave a timely gift, who gave an honorable gift, who gave an illogical gift, but it was accepted with God. Let's give the kind of gift. Don't calculate your gift in terms of dollars and cents. Sometimes it is important, because if your heart is on dollars and cents, you need to give that up. Because the value of God's merits is different from our value. Because God sees how much we give from the heart. It could be 5 cents, from a five-year-old, that could mean more. Because that 5 cents, last time, 1970s, 5 cents, you still can buy one sweet. But if the 5 cents to buy one sweet, I give God. I'll just end with this last one. There was one boy who was saving up to buy a bicycle. So he got about $100 over. It was time to, he was able to buy a bicycle. There was an Indian missionary who came to the States and he preached. He says, $30 US, and support an evangelist for 1 month in India. And I can send these people out so that they can reach villages. And when these Indian evangelists, when they go out and preach, they have no guarantee of their lives. They can be killed because of the opposition. But this Indian preacher was saying, look, $30 US can actually support one missionary as he goes to province for 1 month. If I'm not wrong, $60 US can support the whole family as they go out. This boy, at the end, took out his savings of $100 over and gave it all. And he said, my bicycle is not as important as those souls that need Christ. You know, Christian, we need to be willing to hear this, because I can tell you nowadays, it's all about self. It's all about how we can improve ourselves. It's all about how... But what about saving the lives of those people around you? I'm not saying we don't have problems, you know. If you're just looking around, we have problems too. My wife has problems now. I have problems too. You have problems too. Our problems must not stop us from doing what God says is important. Many of you husbands still go to work, right? Why? Because you are motivated by the fact that you need to provide for your families, right? And therefore you go to work. No matter how sick you are, you still go to work. Why? You need to provide your family. Make that motivation the same as, yeah, I got all my problems, but you know, someone needs Christ. My mom needs Christ. My dad needs Christ. My child needs Christ. I need to be able to give the gift. It is said, the best gift we can give each other is time. You know, the first thing you need to give your time, the first person you need to give your time to is the maker of time. Because if you don't give it back, sometimes God, in order to teach us a lesson, and sometimes we do with our children, we have to discipline them. I'm challenging you, give your best gift to God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Teach us, Lord, to be like Mary, to give our best to you. Lord, I mean, looking at the passage in Mary's life, all she did was she spent time with you, the Word, and she was able to give her best. And up to today, Lord, the fact that we are preaching about what she did was because you said it will be preached. Lord, I do not believe that Mary, when he gave the gift, was looking for honor and popularity for herself. She was just seeking to please her Savior. Lord, I pray that you help us to put away the things of this world. Change our masters on the throne. Lord, to walk with you. To give gifts that will mean for eternity. That when our children see the gift we give to Jesus, they will want to give the same gifts of life, of sacrifice, of honor, of loyalty, of forgiveness, of love. They will want to give the same gifts that are expensive back to you, Lord. That they will be willing, Lord, to sacrifice all for a Savior who gave all for us. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, let me just ask you, there's someone who said, Pastor, pray for me and teach me to give like Mary gave all. Is there someone like that? Pastor, just pray for me. I don't know what God wants to work in your heart, but is there someone, Pastor, pray for me. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Pastor, I pray that God would teach me to give. Amen, I see that hand. Sorry, someone else. Amen, I see that hand too. That hand too. Amen, I see that hand too. Put it up, put it down. Amen, I see that hand. Use this checklist in your life. Is there someone else? Amen, let's pray. Father, I pray for these brethren, the old, the young, who putting up their hands, members. Heavenly Father, the value of things, Lord, can only be rightly seen in your context. Because you're God and you're all wise. Teach us all, Lord, to learn to give to you the same way you gave to us, sacrificially. Lord, we can never give back what you gave to us. But we can certainly give back a portion as we wisely manage, Lord, what you've given to us. Heavenly Father, I pray for this teenager who has put up their hand, a young adult who has put up their hand, dads who have put up their hands. Lord, help them to always give their best to you. Help them to keep walking with you, to give their best, always remembering what you gave to us at the cross. And teach us to make, Lord, sometimes those painful choices that will show our allegiance, our faithfulness, and our love for you. Lord, as we sing the closing hymn, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will help us ask ourselves the question you're asking us in the song. What have we given for you? Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's